Our Father and our God, we thank you for this beautiful morning. We've come together this morning, Father, to worship you, and because of that, we've come with great joy on our hearts. But then we're reminded of the hurts and the mayhem, the crises, the sicknesses, and all the difficulties around us, and we also have a heaviness. And so we come this morning to cast all our cares upon you, knowing you care for us. We come this morning to lay those burdens at the feet of Jesus. And we really do, Heavenly Father, as we have just sung, want to see Jesus. And so I pray that you would open the eyes of the church, open the ears of the church, so we would hear you so intently, see you so clearly. We would love our neighbors in a new way. We would be used by you in new ways, sensitive to what you have us in new places. And I pray, too, that you would open the eyes and the ears of those that don't know you, that they would come to know Jesus Christ as Lord. There's a lot of names on our prayer focus this morning, Lord. And there's a lot of things that could be there. We lift them up to you and say thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. In some cases, behind the scenes, and we don't see it, but you're doing things, so thank you. You're working on hearts. You're saving souls. You're setting captives free. You're healing the sick. You're working in our young people's lives, in our children's lives. You're working in adults. You're working in America. And so we thank and praise you for what you're doing, because you are at work. We just want to lift up these to you this morning that are so sick, and the families that were affected again last night by yet another tragedy here in St. Cloud. We just want to lift them up to you, Lord, and say, intervene. Guide and direct. Save. Restore. Heal. Forgive. Thank you for each and every one here this morning, and thank you for people that will sit in churches all over our region. Father, may we hear from you as we already have. May we continue to worship you as we already have. May we glorify your name. Revive your church, O God. Here and around the globe, revive your church. Time is running out and we need you. The world needs you. And so revive the church, use the church to bring you glory, I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Last Sunday, I got up and told you that we had a cougar sighting right here in our yard. Most of you knew that. I mean, you knew that after I told you. And Monday, I went to Teen Challenge bright and early at 8 o'clock in the morning and had a wonderful service there with the guys at Teen Challenge. Place is full between long-term and short-term. There's places full of guys. And so I had a wonderful time with them. And no sooner did I get back in my vehicle and began to come home from Brainerd Monday morning, the Brainerd Daily Dispatch calls and want to know about the cougar sighting at our church. And I thought, man, oh man, word travels pretty fast. And then on Tuesday morning, we had a pastor's meeting here, a ministerial meeting from Staples and Motley. Richard and I are part of the Ministerial Association. And a pastor at our meeting, the first thing he said, wouldn't even let us get started, and he said, I want to know about the cougar that was here at church last Sunday. And so I've been thinking about that, and yes, there's pictures, yes, there's evidence, and yes, he was right out here. But I was thinking about that, what if word about the good news of Jesus traveled that fast? Yesterday, there was 70 women here for a women's event, and two of them made first-time commitments to Jesus. That's right. Praise be to God. And six more made recommitments to Christ. And so We should give God glory, not just for cougar sightings, and the word should go forth, not just for fun little things like that, but that God is at work in people's lives, and Jesus is still available to people that are hurt and people that are lost. And that kind of word should go forth just as fast or even a whole lot faster than a little old cat in the backyard. What if we passed on the good news of Jesus that way and started getting calls on Monday? I heard Jesus showed up on Sunday. I think that'd be pretty cool, because He is here. The Spirit of God is here. And so I hope that it isn't just for an hour or so on Sunday morning that we get excited about Jesus. I hope that we are so in tune and so in love with the Master that our life just kind of flows through the week with Jesus. Instead of the cat on our mind Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and beyond, that Jesus is on our mind and we live accordingly. Today's parable is kind of like that. Most of you know we've been going through some parables. Today's parable is called, depending on which your Bible says, because the Bible calls it two different things. One calls it the parable of the king's servants. Some of your Bibles will call it the parable of the minas, M-I-N-A. That's a mina. That's a amount of money. But today we're going to look at the parable of the minas. And so if you've got your Bible, we're going to go to Luke 19, beginning at verse 11. Luke 19. Yes, we have looked at some parables already. We're going to continue to look at parables. As a matter of fact, the next two or perhaps three will be more specifically parables Jesus will say, and the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is like. We're going to look at those the next two or three weeks in a row. They're very good. They're very important. And so most of you know we've looked at several parables already. Week one, we looked at the parable of the four soils. And this one, the parable of minas and the parable of the four soils, have some similarities. And when we saw a parable in parable of the four soils, category four, where that seed fell on good ground and sprang forth and brought forth fruit, there are some similarities to the mina, because the Master is charging them, He's challenging them to do something with the mina. In other words, bring forth some fruit. And so there are some similarities between what we saw the first week and this one. And of course, some of you haven't forgotten what we were talking about last week when we were talking about the unforgiving servant. And I've been praying for us, myself included. I've been praying for us. We did it again last night as we gathered here to pray. Some of us, we were praying that if we are still unable to forgive, may we be reminded of what we talked about last week. Not because it's Jim's words, because it's the words of Jesus. To be able to process this thing called forgiveness and get there where we need to be in forgiveness. And so we've been looking at these parables, and today we're going to look at the one from Luke 19. It's called the parable of the minas. I'm going to pick it up at verse 11. Now as they heard these things, He spoke another parable, because He was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Let me elaborate on that verse just a moment, because there's a lot said there. Now as they heard these things, what did they just hear? You've got to go back and look at the first part of that chapter and see the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, you remember the story? Was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Some of you read that. Some of you memorized that story. And climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Savior for to see. That story is about a man that was a chief tax collector, a scoundrel of sorts, who Jesus invited Himself into His home, and the man was transformed, and he went so far as to say, "If I have taken advantage of anybody, I will restore them fourfold." And so we've got this story of Zacchaeus, where Jesus said salvation came to his house that day. He was a changed man, and he took back what he had wrongfully taken and given it back. And so anyway, you can see that story, but I make note of that because verse 11 says, "Now as they heard these things," Zacchaeus was a changed man, a man that they couldn't stand as a chief tax collector, but he's a changed man. And so they had just heard these things. And it says, He spoke another parable because He was near Jerusalem. He was near Jerusalem, which was filled with Jewish people. Two things: they were looking for the Messiah, and they were looking for the Messiah to set up His earthly reign when He came right now. And so this says, he spoke the parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. The followers of Jesus and the Jewish people, they all thought when the Messiah comes, the kingdom will be now. That earthly kingdom that'll wipe out the Romans and we will have prosperity and peace, that's the kingdom they were thinking about. So, with that in their mind, he begins on this parable. Therefore, he said, verse 12, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. That is Jesus. The parable is talking about Jesus coming to earth for a kingdom, going back, and coming again to return. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, supposed followers. Now notice in this parable, there are two categories of people. There are servants and there are citizens. So he called 10 of his servants, supposed followers, and he delivered to them 10 minas, each servant a mina. Piece of money. And he said to them, very, very specifically, do business till I get back. Put the mina to use, is what he's saying. But his citizens hated him, that would be the nation of Israel at the time, and sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. So simply translated, God is sending his son in this parable to the Jewish people to establish the kingdom, to someday return and establish his earthly reign, but for the most part was rejected as Messiah. So that's how we see this parable starting out. Now, verse 15. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded those same servants, the one he had given the mina to each, to be called to him that he might know how much every man had gained by trading, because after all, the instruction was, do business until I come back. He was asking them simply to give an account of their faith. To give an account, as it were, what have you done with your faith? What have you done while I was gone with your faith? Then came the first one saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little. He only had one mina, and now he translated that in his work, in his faith, and his living for the Lord, that became 10. And the master said, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over these 10 cities. And the second one came also saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 more minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another one came saying, Master, here's your mina. I've kept it put away in a handkerchief. I feared you because you are an austere man. You collect what you do not deposit. You reap what you do not sow. And he, that's the master, said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. Now when he handed out the minas, this servant was on the same plateau as everybody else. He established his kingdom. He offered salvation. He offers his spirit. The spirit gives us gifts to be used for the glory of God. He was on the same playing field as the other 9. But when he comes back and he calls this man to give an account, he said, Master, I've kept the mina in a handkerchief. And the master said, out of your own mouth I will judge you. Now he calls him wicked. You wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then, the question is put to him, why then did you not put my money in the bank that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? Remember the challenge, do business until I come. Why didn't you do something with your faith? Why didn't you do something with the gift that God has given you in spiritual speaking? This is, remember what parables are. They're an earthly message with a spiritual meaning. Why didn't you do something about your faith? And he, that's the master, said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said, yeah, but master, he has 10 minas. And Jesus said, and I say to you, that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has, that's the mina, be taken away. But bring those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. He had an opportunity to be fruitful. He had an opportunity to be to multiply what he'd been given, and he did nothing with it. And when the master returns, he called this servant who did nothing with it, and he said, take it away from him. We have an opportunity to be faithful, to be obedient to Christ. And so did he. And when the master came back and he hadn't been faithful, the opportunity then to be faithful and to be obedient and to be productive was taken away. There's a lot of things to conclude from this chapter, from this parable. I'll mention some of them. In this parable, Jesus is telling the listeners, do something with what I have given you. Don't just put your faith in your pockets and forget it. Do something with what I have given you. We in the church, brothers and sisters, and I'm not talking about denominational, I'm not talking about the sign, the name on the sign out there. We in the church, that is followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, have been given what we need to build and expand the kingdom until Jesus tarries. We've been given what we need to advance the kingdom, to get a return on his mina, on his gift. Jesus expects us to use the mina, to use the talents that we have been given, blessed by God, our faith. And when we have put our faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into our life, and the Holy Spirit endows us with some gift, some supernatural gift, something to advance the kingdom. He expects the church to use our gift. He expects us to move forward, and as he said, do business until I come back. There will be a time, we conclude from this parable, he will ask every one of us to give an account. We will stand before him and give an account. You said you were a Christian, but if my faith and my talent was wrapped up in my handkerchief, then he said, take the talent away and give it to the guy with 10. He will expect of us a return because he has challenged the church, do business until I come. He will ask each one of us to give that an account, whether or not we actually did something with the gift that he has offered to us. Jesus is saying also in this parable, the eternal kingdom, they were thinking was going to be established right now. He's saying to them, the eternal kingdom is not going to be established right now, but the kingdom of God will come. And he said, I will come back. And in the meantime, advance the kingdom. Pastor Les wrote something on Facebook this week. He knew some people back, I believe it was in the 40s. Maybe some of you read it. They said, he's coming. He's coming just like they were looking forward to the Messiah setting up a kingdom right then. In the 40s, they had pegged a date. They had picked a date and said, he's coming. And some of these certain people sold everything they had, got themselves a fancy, nice white robe, and went up on the mountaintop and waited for him to get back. They're still waiting. Well, I don't think they are. They're sitting on the mountaintop, but he hasn't come back. And the emphasis was here, the kingdom wasn't going to be established right then, and we know he's coming back, and it could be today, but it may not be. And until he comes back, be faithful and be diligent and advance the kingdom. He may not come back today. He could. And he told the listeners there because they were excited, oh, he's here, he's here. The established kingdom is coming. We're going to have freedom from these nasty Romans. And God's going to have peace and prosperity. And it's going to be good. And he said, that's not the way it works. He is going to come back. But until he does, he says, be busy about advancing the kingdom. Be busy about putting your mind to work. And as I have been pondering this particular parable over this week, I ask myself, what is the 21st century church doing to bring a return to the mina given to us? Oh, I see some wonderful things. I praise God. There's many at work investing their mina. I praise God that he's at work through people. We draw from this parable that those that are using the gift will be rewarded with much in the eternal kingdom. And then we see that last mina. Those that have done nothing. He called them servant to begin with. He was one of the 10. Those that have done nothing will not only receive nothing, their mina will be taken away and given to somebody else, just as Jesus said. For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he had will be taken away. And I wondered, why was the king so hard in this parable on the man that did nothing? Because we could make excuses. I could make excuses. Maybe he didn't know how. Maybe he was ignorant of the scripture. Why was he so hard? And as I conclude and read, I think perhaps because the servant with only one, his concern was just for himself and not for the kingdom. Self-centered and not Christ-centered. Certainly we see from the parable he did nothing with his mina. And perhaps we conclude he didn't have the same interest that the others did. Whatever the reasons, he was very clear about the one that produced nothing from what he had been given. And like the king and the nobleman in this story, God has given to us the free gift of salvation if we'll receive it by faith. And if we'll receive this free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit then gives us a gift to be used for advancing the kingdom. And he challenges us to use that for the glory of God. And each and every one of us have those same opportunities. The question is for us today, as I see it, is twofold. Do we want the kingdom to grow? Do we want the kingdom of God to be advanced in the 21st century when everything seems like it's going wrong around us? Do we want the kingdom to grow? And then the question comes back to us as individuals, will we use our mina to do that? Will we use what God has given us to advance the kingdom, because that's what he's called us to do? And so the argument, and I used it a long time ago too, well, that's for the preacher. Well, that's lame. That argument is lame. That's for the missionary. That's for the evangelist. No, it isn't. Yes, that's our responsibility too. And we have a greater responsibility. And our condemnation will be greater if we don't do that. But all throughout the Word of God, we see that God has given to His church the opportunity to advance the kingdom. to do business until I come, he says. And so whether this morning, brothers and sisters, you think you've been given a mina from God or not, I assure you of this one thing. At the end, whenever that is, whenever Jesus comes back or I close my eyes in death, at the end, you do not want to be counted having done nothing with the opportunity of your mina. You do not want to be counted in that group because he said, take the mina away and give it to him with 10. And according to this parable, he's been here, he's offered salvation, and when we receive Christ by faith, we're given a gift by the Holy Spirit, we're given that talent, we're given that mina, and he's coming back. He has given us the wherewithal to be producing people for the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about working your way to heaven. I'm talking about being responding to the Holy Spirit of God and doing what he's called us to do, doing what he's blessed us to do. He could do it without us. He could do it without me, I assure you. He could do it without you. But he's called the church to advance the kingdom. He's called the people of God to be responsible to the Holy Spirit's leading, to come to faith in Christ first, and then let his Spirit lead, because he's going to give you a gift to be used to advance the kingdom. And so, let me just say this, friends, because time has run out. What are we singing, Kathy? Count Your Many Blessings? Page 563? We have been blessed by God. The blessing of salvation alone is huge, is it not? We have an opportunity to come to faith in Christ. Every one of us, every person that doesn't go to church, every person that even comes around to a shopping mall and starts sticking people with a knife, he would have had a chance. He's shot dead now. But he would have had a chance to cry out to God for repentance and receive that gift of salvation. He would have. And every one of us have a chance to receive by faith this gift of salvation. And when we receive that gift of salvation, the Holy Spirit will come into you and it'll be a new day and you'll be a new creation, and He will give you a reason and a purpose to live, a brand new reason, to advance the kingdom. But if we do nothing with that offering, there will come a day where we will wish we did, and then it'll be too late. And I simply ask us today, friends, have you made right with God through faith in Christ? Have you invited him into your life? Have you repented of sin and say, God, forgive me. God, take over. I need your son. And if you have, praise God for that. Let him use you with the mina he's given you to advance the kingdom. Let him use you to bring him glory. Because that's what he established the church to do. Let's stand and sing, count our blessings. Count our blessings. If you want to pray at the altar, come and pray. If you want Richard or Dale or myself to pray for you, we will. But make sure you're right with God through faith in Christ. And make sure you're listening to God when he says, I've given you a mina, will you use it? Make sure of that today, friends. Let's bow our heads to close in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the blessing of salvation that is offered to each and every one of us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary's tree so long ago so that our sin might be atoned for. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that when we reach out by faith and embrace Jesus as Lord, your Spirit comes in and helps us in life, and your Spirit gives us a gift to be used to bring you glory. We thank you for all these blessings. Help us, Father, to be a blessing to others because you have been a blessing to us. Help us, Father, not to be like the servant that put the mina in the handkerchief and suck it away and forgot about it and left it there. Help us not to be like that. Help us to be listening to you, moved by you, encouraged by you, directed by your word, to know what to do, to know how to live, to know how to walk, to know how to love. Help us use our minas wisely. Help us to be servants that do business until you come. And so, glorify your name, Father, out of these your people. Help us to be people that are faithful to you, to whatever you're calling us to do, I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.